01419511025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big night of European qualification action for our Scottish clubs. Rangers trail 2-1 in Poland against Jagiellonia Białystok, with plenty of work to do for Derek McInnes' side in the second half. Motherwell goalless at the break over in Helsinki, again hoping for a better second 45. And then it's over to the Edinburgh clubs, Hibs and Hearts later, particularly Hearts, with a tough job on their hands against Benfica. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight we've got Simon Donnelly and Jim Duffy. 45 minutes in for Rangers, a lot of work to be done. Motherwell kind of in the balance, and who knows what will happen later on. Surely we can get some sort of positivity tonight.
Yeah, well, it was a mixed bag the last time around, with Hibs and Motherwell eventually getting decent results. But tonight, I think that, Rangers going away in Poland, it was always going to be difficult. I think just the, again, the early part of the season, believe it's around about 30 degrees. They had the hydration break in the game and all this kind of stuff. But when you start as well as Rangers did, you get a goal up, albeit an own goal, but it was a well-worked move into, a good cross from Romans and an own goal. That's got to give you confidence and belief, but they just never allowed themselves to settle into the game, Rangers, and gave away two really cheap goals. So they're on the back foot, and I think it's an interesting team talk that Derek McInnes is going to have to try and make sure that, I think really they should be looking to get at least on equal terms before they come back to Ibrox.
I'm going to get Simon Donnelly's thoughts in a minute, but let's just go straight in and give you the number and all that sort of stuff, 01419511025, because just before the second half kicks off, it might be a good time to get your immediate thoughts over, Rangers fans. So an early kickoff for us tonight. You can't have been too impressed with what you witnessed in that first 45 minutes, so why not give us a call right now, tell us what needs to change, tell us what has frustrated you, and maybe a prediction if you think things can turn around in that second half. So give us a call right now, 01419511025. As Jim alluded to, Simon, it was a good start from Rangers, which will make it maybe even more frustrating, because the defending, a lot of it's not been pretty.
No, the two goals are totally avoidable. The first one in particular, it's a ball into the box. It's not a particularly good ball, and it just makes its way right into the back post. I think Fernandez gets a touch on it, but as Jim alluded to, there 3 minutes on the clock and you're 1-0 up away from home. It's a perfect start. They've worked the ball down that left-hand side. Romans has put a ball in. They've got the benefit of the OG, and they've kind of shot themselves in the foot, and they've not got much better since then. The important thing is to stay in the tie, obviously. You've got the second leg at Ibrox next week. If they can get out of this with a draw or a 2-1, it's probably a success after the way that half's went.
01419511025. Now, I would never dream of suggesting that a fellow Motherwell fan is getting his priorities mixed up, but you would think in the heat of battle, away in Helsinki, you'd be engrossed. You'd be watching the game. Scott's picked up the phone. He's phoning live from the stadium, Scott. Unless somebody's having me on. Are you in Earbles Road secretly and not Helsinki?
Gordon, it's actually Pepe Zambia Football Foundation. You know me very, very well. And it's just been what a day. 23 degrees. Absolutely brilliant. Just kicked off the second half. And I think we're actually, I'm going to book up to Freiburg after this. Well, but my whole point is, we've got the best midfielder in Scottish football, and Lucas Vadinger, and that is just an absolute fact. But honestly, Rangers fans, Celtic fans, Hearts fans, you can't understand how good this is. I was at the Faroes last weekend, and we're just on a march with Helsinki Square to the stadium. It's been absolutely unbelievable.
Listen, Clyde One didn't pay to send a reporter over there, so you send me an invoice and give me a wee match report as to how it's gone so far.
Oh, honestly, it's been, obviously, my first trip to Motherwell was in 1994 and for Borussia Dortmund. I didn't think the Faroes would beat it last week, but this has absolutely trumped it. It's been absolutely fantastic. We've not scored a goal yet, but football's only part of it, and it's just been fantastic.
I was going to say, tell me about the game. How are Motherwell doing?
They're doing all right. The game's a bit of a kind of a defensive battle. It's kind of been a midfield struggle, but see, as long as we can take it back to Firth Park, we've got a full house, we have a chance to go into Germany to play the team that played in the Conference League final next week. That's what dreams are made of. As I said, 1994 was my first trip away with my dad. I've got a flag with my dad's name on it, and it's just like things are dreams are made of, Gordon. Honestly, it's absolutely unbelievable. James Bertel Haskell has been an absolute godsend to our club, and it's just been fantastic.
No, you're a good man. Listen, I'll let you go and enjoy that second half. It sounds like it's kicked off. Hopefully nobody shops us to UEFA for taking live reports from inside the stadium. I don't know what the rules are on that sort of thing. But there we go. It is still goalless for Motherwell over there in Helsinki. As Scott alluded to there, I think fairly even stuff for them. Not loads happening. I don't think Motherwell really managing to carry as much of a threat, doing fine in the game. And not to keep moaning or to keep getting the excuses in, but after all the players that left and all the players that are injured, you're managing to find still positivity at the start of the new season. And Ibrahim Saeed, who's been the star man, can't get a visa, and he doesn't play the game either. If Motherwell can come out of this tie with something after all of that stuff, the new manager will be a fan's favourite already, I think.
Well, one of the things they have a number of things, but one of the things they have is an unbelievably passionate support who are loving their time in Europe. And I think that's a big thing. I think that sometimes the bigger clubs, I'm not saying they take it for granted, but maybe the expectations are really high and there's maybe not the same atmosphere at times. But you heard it in Scott's voice here. You know, that because it's not a regular occurrence, then they're absolutely loving, you know, the ties. It doesn't matter if it's away to Helsinki or whatever, as you said, the fairs, then they're looking at Germany if they can get through. So it's just a fantastic opportunity for Motherwell again. And, you know, I watched their game at the weekend, Gordon, against Hibs. I thought it was a really good game. I thought Hibs played well, but Motherwell on the break were terrific. An outstanding winning goal, a brilliant winning goal. And as you say, with all the players that have left, obviously the Saeed not getting the clearance to play in that as well. You know, if they come back there level, it would be a magnificent result. And I'm sure Firth Park would be absolutely rocking, you know, if they get an opportunity to play Freiburg.
I love Scott's emotion. I just want him to keep his composure. Don't go booking flights to Germany just yet, just in case, right? I don't want that in my conscience. And then it finishes 4-0 to Helsinki in the second half. But so far, goalless at the moment. I think Motherwell would obviously take that back to Firth Park, but you never know, maybe go and get an away goal. Not an away goal in the sense that it counts for anything, but score on the road tonight. So let's also bring in Stevie, who it says Rangers, I think, next to your name here, which means you cannot be impressed with what you've seen in that first half.
No, well, I was impressed with us going forward, but the defence is shocking. I mean, Fernandez, I mean, he's like Bambi and Ice. I mean, what boots is he wearing, you know? And the goalkeeper, Pandura, whatever you call him, I don't rate this goalkeeper at all. I'm just watching the second half here. But no, I'm not impressed with his defence at all. And, well, I see that he's made three changes. Raskin's on, you know, but what was I going to say? But why did he leave Shanklin on the bench? Or is he just going to leave Shanklin for the Scottish Premiership?
Right, let's go back. You're right, it's a good question. Go back to the start. Every year I get in touch with you. If I send them a strongly worded email and say, don't kick off games at 5 o'clock, Super Scoreboard doesn't start till 6. They ignore me every year, which you won't be surprised. So let's go back to the starting lineup.
Ask Donald Trump to sort it.
although a lot's happened, go back to that starting lineup as Stevie alluded to. It is quite an interesting one when you name Lauren Shanklin the club captain and then you leave him out in the second game. What do you make of that? Is that the challenge that is going to kind of, or does it not matter these days? I don't know. You tell me.
I don't think it matters. I think it's a huge squad game now. I mean, and you've got top players in every position. That's what our manager wants. Derek McInnes is looking for at least two players in every position. And Chermiti get the nod tonight. He was on the bench at the weekend. He's a multi-million pound player. And then, you know, you're bringing on Nico Raskin, who played in the World Cup there, you know, with Belgium again, a very, very highly valued player. So that's your depth in your squad. So, no, I think Lauren Shankman, Cammy Devlin, all these kind of guys would probably know that. You know, they would probably realise that when they go to Rangers that they're not going to play every week, regardless of whether you're club captain or not.
Stevie's alluded to the changes there, so let me bring you up to speed if you're getting your match coverage from us. 47 gone, still 2-1 to the hosts out there in Poland. So Dan Neal, Daisuke Yokota, who's another one, he'd gone straight in. I don't think he'd even trained really with his teammates. He went in for his debut.
That was more of a strange one, actually, starting
and
straight away.
Tochi Chukwuanyi have all gone off to be replaced by Finlay Curtis, Nico Raskin on his return, and Cammy Devlin. That's one of those ones, Simon, you don't need to know anything about the game, but if a manager makes a triple change at the break, you know he's not happy.
Yeah, he's not happy. And as I say, after 3 minutes, it's a perfect start for Rangers, but they've kind of shot themselves in the foot. Stevie alludes to the defending there. Regarding Shankland, it's maybe just horses for courses. Away from home in Europe, Chermiti's a lot more mobile than Shankland. There's absolutely no doubt in Lauren Shankland as a striker. In between the posts, when he gets chances, it's maybe not that type of night for Lawrence. And it maybe shows a bit of bravery as well, Derek McInnes. He's named him as his captain, but he's not shy to you know, select a side that he thinks is best for a specific match. But as I say, after a perfect start, Derek, obviously not happy at half-time, he's changed it, and three of the lads have come on. Raskin, Curtis, who had a fantastic end of the season at Kilmarnock, so let's see what they can do.
Who was team captain tonight?
Daniel.
What was Daniel?
Yeah, so he's the vice captain. Right. I think Derek McInnes confirmed that.
Captain, right.
Stevie, it's interesting because it's so early in the season, so we're being quite judgmental. But I think what the Rangers fans had been saying was they were maybe worried about the creativity and how they would, you know, create things. But actually, in the Dundee United game and now the first half here, it is the defence that's come under quite a bit of criticism, isn't it?
Aye, well, I'm not happy with McInnes at all. I mean, he had 9 chances to beat Celtic when he was at Aberdeen, and he blew every single one of them, you know. He could have went to the top of the league, top of the league, top of the league, but he blew every chance. And then, okay, he's had a good, run with Hearts, but I'm still not a fan of McInnes. Okay, I hope I'm proved wrong, but nah. You know.
It does feel harsh to hold the Aberdeen stuff against them after all this time. And listen, when you're Aberdeen, Jimmy, you know the there's the food chain here. Even if Celtic were not in a great place or whatever, it's still Aberdeen trying to come up again. And then Brendan Rodgers rolled into town, and Derek McInnes had to overcome that. But anyway, let's forget the history lesson for now. He is clearly unhappy. We mentioned the triple change. How important is it, Rangers, you know, don't defend the way they did in that first half to state the obvious?
I think they've got to defend a lot better. As you said, the couple of games that they've played, you know, they've made some basic errors, and the opposition has got a number of chances against them. I think Steve was a wee bit harsh on Pandur. I think he actually had a really good save leading up to when the slip came from Fernandez. I mean, the player's got a clear shot at goal from about 12 yards out, and he's a very good save. Unfortunately, Rangers didn't pick up the rebound. But I've not seen enough of him yet to know what kind of level a goalkeeper he is. But I think to judge him on Eden so far, he hasn't made any obvious errors.
What do you make then? You're a centre half expert. You're talking about Fernandez. Mm-hmm. See that, you know, he does slip, as Stevie alludes to. So is that pure bad luck, or is that all in keeping with kind of how he's playing at the moment? You know, and then the one that does go under his foot, you've absolved the goalie from blame, so does that mean that he takes the blame for it?
I think the slip can be unfortunate, but it can also be balance. You know, if you're not reading the situation well, and then you're having to check to read where the ball's going to go, then you're off balance. And if you're off balance, you can slip. Footwear can play a part, but most teams now will, you know, the sprinklers on, you know, really, and because of the weather as well, I'm sure the pitch was you know, had a good soaking, so there might be patches here, but it's a little bit slippy. But to me, it's more to do with balance and assessing things. If you're, you know, you read the situation right, you probably won't slip. So I think he hasn't started the season great. I think he made a couple of mistakes against Dundee United. He certainly made the one tonight for the slip, and then the other one, as Simon said, he just kind of stuck a leg out again. For me, I think he was in a poor position. I think both from a centre back's position in terms of relation to the goal, but also his body position, he's facing the goal. I just think overall it was very poor defending from him.
Let's thank Stevie for his thoughts. 51 gone still, Jagiellonia Bialystok 2 Rangers 1. Don't forget the Edinburgh sides are going to kick off a bit later on. We've reached the hour mark in Helsinki. Motherwell still goalless there. So 0141 951 1025, bit of a strange schedule for us. We're we'll get the full time whistles in eventually, then you can get your proper reaction. But why not talk to us just as Stevie did as the game's going on? And I've always say it when these games are on, don't shout at the telly, shout at us. That's what we're here for. Robert is on the other line. Robert, your fellow Rangers fan Stevie was a bit critical there. How do you feel about this at the moment?
That's
what I was putting up for. I'm just thinking that these so-called
Rangers fans, it's not
going to
go yard. He's only in the job a couple of games.
You know what
I mean? I'm not even
giving
him a chance, and
I'm
slagging him off. I'd like to know the panels opinion.
Yeah, managers are you talking about? Yeah. Yeah, listen, it's early days. Derek McInnes is just in the job. There's a bit of change to be done. He's brought the boy Godfrey in, who's picked up an injury at the middle of his defence there early on in the campaign. It's the second game. If anything, you know, the goals all came early in this game. It's settled down a wee bit. I don't want to tempt fate, but, you know, they've kind of grown into it a wee bit. The changes have been made. Let's see if they can build on it in the second half. A draw here is not a bad result.
I think the problem, Jim, because Robert is right, if you're being normal and sensible and calm about it all, you're judging a manager after a game and a half. You know, it seems unfair. But
We do.
But no, what I was going to say, though, is Rangers continually start league seasons poorly, and even if they aren't ready, you know, you're expected to go and beat Dundee United and everyone else. And these European qualifiers, time and time again, they do come early. That, you know, the scheduling of them is unforgiving for managers, and it can be hard to shake off, you know, if they don't go to plan.
Yeah, I mean, you are judged instantly whether you're a player or a manager these days. As soon as you're signed, if you have a good game, people rave about you. If you have a bad game, people want rid of you. And the manager situation is no different. You know, you're judged very, very quickly. But I agree with Robert 100%. You know, you can't be making judgments on Derek McInnes now if you think he's a good, bad or indifferent manager. You know what I mean? He literally hasn't got his feet in the door. He's trying to, you know, get a new team together. So many new signings. I mean, again, he is learning to become a Rangers manager. But it shows you, in the early part, you know, the demands of being a Rangers manager. You have to be successful from day one. You're not going to get too much time. But I do think any negativity puts more pressure on the players. You know, they have to get behind the manager, they have to get behind the players, particularly the new players, and then hopefully they will respond to them. I mean, Rangers drew up at Tannadice, didn't lose. I mean, it's not the worst result in the world up at Tannadice, because I thought Dundee United played well. And if they lost 2-1 tonight and then take that result back to Ibrox, you would absolutely feel that a positive full Ibrox, yeah, you know, it has to be a positive atmosphere, would be enough to see Rangers get through in the tie.
Robert, is that something you'd agree with? Even if this stayed the way it was, you fancy Rangers to go through? Again, it's a fairly obvious answer, but as long as it doesn't get any worse.
No, listen, I fancy Rangers any time, you know. I mean, it's just these negativity fans. I want to get somebody out there to tell them to give the boy time. And I appreciate the panel's comments there.
You confident this will all come good anyway in the end?
Yeah, definitely, mate. I wouldn't have been on the phone if I didn't
think so. Yeah, well, as always, listen, there's a balance. You don't. I admire Robert's positivity, but at the same time, you don't have to sort of lie to what you're seeing. And if fellow fans are not impressed at all so far,
no, listen, there's always going to be opinion. It's always going to be split. But as I say, well, as the polls break here, all the goals came early on. Rangers got a good start in the game. The Polish team responded well. But 2-1 is not a bad result. And if they can turn it and sneak another goal in the second half, then even at 2-1, as Jim says, Rangers are more than capable of turning that.
I think you're also, the Rangers fans who are not as positive as Robert, Jim, to be fair, are also just looking for signs. Yeah. Maybe not expecting the finished article, but Rangers, I know Robert won't want me to remind them, finished third last season.
Yeah.
Didn't win a trophy. So improvement is obviously needed. And some Rangers fans at the moment are just wondering whether they have upgraded in positions. You know, James Tavernier's gone. Is Ross McCrory going to be better? Is Dujon Sterling going to be better? The players that have come in, is it better than what it has been? Because it has to be when you're coming off the back of a season like last season.
No, it has to be significantly better as well. But the thing is, you know, Derek McInnes has to find out about some of these players as well, you know. So for instance, I am surprised they put Yokota straight in. You know, I mean, as you say, they hadn't really met his teammates. You're away to a European tie, you're probably going to be in the back foot at certain times in the game, and he's a winger, so you maybe think, would I save him for Ibrox? And you know, when you're maybe on the front foot and you can maybe express yourself a little bit more. So that maybe not great for him coming in, getting the hook at half time, and then you've got, you know, one or two others. He's still trying to get that balance right in midfield. Is it Cammy Devlin? Is it Dan Neal? You know, is Diamondi fitting in? There's a number of things that he's still going to have to look at. So he's still finding out a lot about his team, and it will take him. But while he's doing that, he has to get results, and he's fully aware of that. And I think that's what the Rangers fans are thinking. But if you take the great rivals at Celtic, I mean, Celtic didn't play great against the D, but they win. And I think that's always the thing that the people look at the differences, that if Rangers are not playing great, can they still manage to win? And tonight is a perfect example. I'm not saying they have to win, but I think if they can get out of it in level terms, that would show you know, that, that there is progress even in the short term.
Okay, 58 gone in Poland, still 2-1 to the hosts in that game in Helsinki. The Steelmen have taken the lead. Ooh. To Wanda Maswanisi with a penalty on 64 minutes. They had to defend a bit in the first half. How crucial could that be?
And fair Scott play Scott will be doing cartwheels.
Fair play to him. He's come back into the team and said to Lucas Fadinger, who's been banging in penalties already, out the way.
I'm taking it.
I'll get back on penalty duties.
Top goal scorer last year.
Listen, some
confidence.
Some confidence. Where
man
we
in the
go.
Mask.
Oh, yeah, he's got the old jaw.
Yeah, the weekend,
broken jaw. That's why he's been behind. But anyway, right, looking forward to finding out how that one pans out. Keep your calls coming there. Any more from in the stadiums in Helsinki or Poland, we'll even take those as well. And we'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
64 minutes gone in Poland. Rangers still trail by 2-1. They've made those changes. They've actually had a couple of opportunities on the break, but most of them have not been well taken at all. And round about 30 minutes to go. Still work to be done, Jim Duffy.
Yeah, they haven't tested the goalkeeper, and that's the thing. They had a 3v2 situation where they probably should have done better. I think, unfortunately, from the Rangers' perspective, it was Cammy Devlin that ended up in the box, and he's certainly not known for being a prolific goal scorer. And you can see that by his kind of first touch, took him into the crowded area rather than with Simon sitting next to me, a striker, would just let it run across his body and maybe have a goal with his left foot. But also, you know, they've been, I think, quite risky in the second half, Rangers, and I understand they want to go back into the game, but they don't have to get into the game straight away. I mean, so, and they've left themselves a wee bit, you know, susceptible to the counter-attack as well. So, very open game, I have to say that. You know, it's an open game, but, you know, Rangers, as I said, 2-1, you know, I think there'll come a time where they might just settle for it, but at this moment in time they're certainly desperate to try and get the equaliser.
Oh, this doesn't come across as unfair, but that the Cammy Devlin chance or opportunity, Simon, is the definition of a nosebleed, wasn't it? Is a guy that we know what he's good at, and we know the areas of the pitch he's comfortable in, and he just did not look like he fancied being near the goal.
No he didn't, because it was a nice little reverse pass. We were kind of watching it develop. And the reverse pass is the correct pass. But as Jim says, and it's easy for us sitting here, he gets back into traffic. I think there's three or four defenders going back at him. And if he just keeps it on his left foot, nobody's getting back. And then it's down to him with the shot. But he kind of caught it under his feet, almost trying to get it back onto his right foot. And no sooner is the chance there, it's gone. It just falls to the wrong person. But they have had a couple of wee sniffs. But the danger is that the game is very open, as Jim says there. They've broke a couple of times there, and if they get the final pass right, they're in and goal. So it's very open at the moment. Obviously, with the three substitutions, Rangers are keen to get another goal, but you have to be wary going the other way.
Motherwell have been pegged back. A name you may be familiar with, Timo Pukki, has scored for HJK.
Still scoring
Helsinki.
Goals.
So there we go. 74 gone in that one. That's a good bit ahead of the game. In Poland, I think there were a few stoppages in the first half and so on in the Rangers game. So Motherwell a good bit ahead. They had taken the lead through that Tawanda Maswanisi penalty. Timo Pukki's levelled things up. Let's see what the next 20 minutes or so has in store. Gary's on the line. How are you, Gary?
Oh, mate, this is terrible. This is absolutely shocking. There's no creativity at all. There's no pace at all. It's the same as what happened last year. I mean, it's just... don't know what these signings have been brought in for. I really, really don't. I mean, I was crying out for, like, for instance, like, if you're putting Raskin in your Europa League team, as in, like, in the squad and stuff like that, surely he's got to be like your vice captain. If Shanklin's your captain, Raskin has to be your vice captain. That Dan Neil, I wouldn't even put him as my vice captain in my nine hole golf club. He's just absolutely shocked. How many times, even when the ball was getting like played behind and this team's coming forward, and like there just doesn't seem to be anything at all from this squad. We played Partick Thistle, which basically, in a bounce game, which basically seems to me as if they played them because...
Oh, it's very close to going 3-1 down there as well. Sorry, Gary.
Which basically seems to me as if they played them a bounce game because this team plays in the same shots. but in saying that, our striker scored a hat-trick.
Yeah.
So I just do not get what it is McInnes is trying to do here at all. And I don't know what's going to happen Sunday. Yeah. I really don't.
In fairness, and we had Tony Watt and Alex Rayan last night. Jim, you'll be able to tell us that the purpose of that game is probably not to play your way into this one. It's probably more of a minutes thing. I do get where Gary's coming from. Well, maybe you harness a guy that scored a hat trick. You know, and use him. He may well come on. The Dan Neil one, Simon, what do you think about that? Because take again Gary's point about Raskin, but maybe Derek McInnes assumes Raskin's going to leave. He's only just back in the building. Maybe he's got designs on him leaving. Are you going to go name him as the vice captain?
I know it's a tricky one. It's really one that you can only really, Derek can only really answer it. He's working with the guys day to day. As another chance comes in there, Dio Mandy.
He should do better. I mean, yeah, defenders missed the ball.
Yeah,
heads over the top. That's poor.
Can't get above it. Mm. But yeah, obviously he's working with the guys day to day. He knows maybe Raskin's maybe not going to be there. That's maybe the explanation for it. I can't really answer it. I haven't seen a lot of the boy Neil, but he's obviously not done enough this afternoon. He's been taken off at half time. But as we see another water break here, I thought these were.
It's funny that I hope UEFA don't just suddenly shoehorn these into everything, but I think it was about 32, 33 degrees there, so maybe.
I think they're asking one might be slightly different because he obviously had a bit of time off after the World Cup, so yeah. An extra bit of time, so maybe he wasn't in the building and Derek went in there and he's made his choices on his leadership group, if you want to call it that. And then obviously that's maybe also part he's missed a fair bit of the training. He has to make sure that whether he's still at Rangers for the rest of the campaign or whether he moves on, you know, they make as good a condition, so they have to look at that aspect to it. The sports science will probably dictate that. So I think we can give him a little bit of grace on the Nicola Raskin.
What
one.
About the vice captaincy?
The captaincy, no, again, as I said, I think that, you know, captains are picked and vice captains are picked for a number of reasons. And I don't know the character of the players, so I think that's down to the manager himself. But I do think that the Dan Neil one, again, a bit similar to Cammy Devlin to me. It was a bit before, like when you had Joe Rothwell and stuff like that in there. You know, there are players who do well down south, but not always hit the ground running or do as well. Again, Rangers are still searching for the balance. I think I'd be more concerned, like Gary mentioned, I think his first line was that not a lot of pace, particularly going forward. I think that's why he's brought on Finlay Curtis. Obviously, they brought the boy Yokota on. I mean, I'm presuming he's quick, but Derek McInnes already said he needs a bit of pace. And, you know, I think that you can see that. I mean, although Diamandi's kind of playing out there on the right, they don't really have a lot of pace. Chirmiti can, don't get me wrong, Chirmiti can open his legs up, but you don't want him running into channels all the time because then he's not in the middle of the box when the ball comes in.
Yeah, I mean, Gary, it is early days. The previous caller was quick to point that out and say, you know, you've got to give Derek McInnes a chance. By extension, you'd need to give Dan Neil a chance. Have we not been a bit quick to judge?
Right. Well, my point is, what I'm trying to say, right, Raskin came back, Belgian international from the World Cup. Finlay Curtis, all right, he was out there as well. But if they can, like, just sit there and watch this game for 45, 50 minutes and stuff like that, and then come on at half-time, why not just play them from the start? Why not just get a creativity? Because that's what the guys have. Raskin and Finlay Curtis, and then take them off at half-time if we are like 2-0 up or something like that and the game seems to be a wee bit easy, and then bring on your vice-captain of a golf club. Do you know what I mean? Rather than us getting punished going through this foothole first half, because what the Finlay Cottas has done since I've seen it is put the ball crossed it in for the last five times. We never had that in the first half.
Yeah. I think the concerns maybe the defending though a little bit. You know, I mean, I think that's a part. I mean, you can do players and you can look at individuals, but I think Rangers have got to defend better.
Well, Rangers could be in here. Diamandé, edge of the box, he's snuffed out. He had company. I don't know if Sid the movement was able to dig out the pass, or was he as well taking it on himself?
I think he did the right decision to take it on, but he could have taken it a little bit more. I think he's tried to take the shot too early and choked it.
I mean, I don't know if it's a striker if it shows you again, but I'm not sure where Chimitty's running to.
Yeah,
that's what I was wondering. Yeah.
I'm not sure whether if he stays out, he allows Diamandé to go 1v1, but because he made the run across, I think it drew the defender
with him, yeah.
And then it closed the door, because Diamandé's wanting to come into his left foot, and it's a double block. I don't think there's any way you'll get handball for that.
He's choked the shot.
Again, another wasted opportunity. It was
a 2v2, yeah. They've had two or three situations like that, and they've not, you know, made the most of them this half.
But see, talking about, you know, how it's early and trying to find solutions and all that sort of stuff, Jim, we're seeing that from Derek McInnes, aren't we? Where he made two changes at the break on Friday, three tonight.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel, he came on at the break on Friday. He's off at the break tonight. It was the two up front with Nadiri and Shankland, and it's the other one that starts alone up front tonight.
Yeah.
Now, this is a different tactical challenge. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But when you are a new manager and you've got some new players and you're trying to sort of implement everything at once, if results aren't going your way, do you feel like you end up scrambling around for solutions?
Well, I think people pick on those type of situations, because the other thing is for fans, they've got options to pick, same as you have. So if you pick someone, they're invariably going to pick someone else. If you've got a very limited squad, you know, you're maybe going to get so many arguments, you know. So therefore, I think the fact that they've signed so many new players, and as I say, they're still piecing it together. You know, personally speaking, I think you've got to have about 6 weeks, you know, to maybe just have a look at everyone and just see where you are. As Gary mentioned, they're a closed door game. You probably have another couple of closed doors games over the next couple of weeks, and then he might. But as I've said, manager Rangers, you've got to be winning when you're doing that. You can't just say, "Oh, give me 6 weeks," and by that time you're 6 or 7 points behind in the league challenge. So you have to be winning these type of games. And Derek McInnes is fully aware of that.
I think that's the pressure that comes with these qualifying games as well. Because as you say, Gordon, if they drop points at Tannadice, and he is shuffling his pack at the moment, trying to find solutions. It's early in the season, but these qualifying games come around really quick, and you're under severe pressure because, you know, for Rangers not to be successful in Europe or get to the Europa League, it's a huge blow. So it's finding the solutions very quickly.
Okay, thank you very much to Gary. Rangers by no means out of this, so they are getting forward. With 15 to go, it is still 2-1. 0141 951 1025. Adil is on the other line. How are you doing? Hopefully I've nailed the pronunciation. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you did good. It's Adil, yeah. It's brilliant. A hard name to pronounce.
No, that's okay.
Good.
I like it. Where are you calling from tonight?
I'm calling from Montreal, Canada.
Nice. Wow. And what made you call?
So I have a couple questions regarding, I know Alistair Johnston and Arne Engels are both kind of set to depart Celtic. So I had like a little two-parter. So my first question is, which position do you guys think Celtic most desperately need to fill? And then the second part is, which of those two players do you think would be harder to replace? I'm personally biased because I'm Canadian, so I'm really sad to hear
that Alistair could be leaving.
So I just kind of wanted to hear you guys' thoughts about that.
Simon, go on. That's your area, I would imagine.
If those two go, obviously those two places, I would think maybe a centre-back as well, as cover, and certainly left-back as well. You're looking at Kieran Tierney there. Alistair Johnston actually filled in at left-back on Monday night. So I think various positions, but it has to be quality. It has to be quality. We've looked at recruitment in recent times, and it's been players, especially that last transfer window, where players came in and they weren't really used. They were almost, they were dismissed by Martin because whatever reason regarded, they weren't going to bring something to the team. So I think there's a number of positions, but left back, centre back, and those two need replaced. I would agree with, is it Adil?
Yeah.
I would agree with her that the right back, Johnston, would be harder to replace.
Jim,
I think.
Would you go along with that? Is Johnston the the one out of those two that the Celtic fans...
No.
You think Engel's harder to replace?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think so.
Big shout. Yep. Go on then. Show us you're working.
No, I do, because I think a top-class midfield player is much more difficult to find and much more expensive in the market than a fullback. And one also like Colby Donovan. I think he's a terrific player, and I think he's got a great future at Celtic, and I definitely think he's more than capable of getting in. Whether Celtic get another right back on top of that as well, then that's obviously up to the club. But I think replacing Engels is very difficult. Hatate isn't, you know, obviously a regular player. Luke McKim is not a regular player. Callum McGregor is, well, we're 32, 33 now. I mean, he's a real consistent player. But, you know, trying to find someone who can go in there and complement and be an absolute starter, I think is a very expensive. So I think losing him would be a bigger blow. But I do agree with Simon in terms of also of an alternative for Kieran Tierney, who was brilliant at the weekend, I have to say that, and has been really good, you know, for Celtic in terms of what he offers him. But for me, it would be a right winger or a left winger, because I think, again, we saw Duran struggled a little bit at the weekend there. He's not a natural winger. So I think that, you know, Celtic have always had terrific wingers, but Yang's still a bit inconsistent. James Forrest will still contribute. There's no doubt about that. But Tonetke's a bit hot and cold at times. So I think a winger, we say that tonight about Rangers getting pace, and I think Celtic have always had pace in the wide areas. You know, they've always had, you know, they make the pitch really, really big. But, you know, they've tried Negre in there a couple of times, they've tried Luke McCow in there a couple of times, they've tried various options. But a top class winger, I know they're trying to get Hassan, is it Oviedo he's coming from, they've offered, I think,
nine million,
I think. So if that came off, I think that'd be a terrific signing. But for me, a top class midfielder, if Engels goes, going to be difficult.
Rangers with a chance here, cleared the way for a corner. Ideal is the local feeling that Alistair Johnson will move on. He was impressive for Celtic anyway, then he's gone and had a good World Cup, didn't he? That perhaps alerts everyone else to his talents.
Yeah, it's devastating. I'll be honest, I'm new to the whole world of football and Scottish football specifically. So my boyfriend's from Cope Bridge and he's a massive Celtic fan. So last season was kind of my introduction to this world, and it was a crazy
world
to kind of be introduced. So that's kind of where my interest has started. I'm very, very new to all this. So
this is incredible. So you get a boyfriend from Cope Bridge, and before long you're calling into Clyde One Super Scoreboard to discuss Alistair Johnson. So you've never lived over here, you're, you know, born and raised in Montreal.
Yeah, never even visited. I'm hopefully going to visit sometime in the next year, so I'll make my way out there. But I did have one more point, because I know Gordon is not on tonight, and I think I was listening to an episode a couple of weeks ago, and he said he found a cornhole this summer. That was like kind of his sport. And that's also a sport that I started playing this summer, and I play in a local like cornhole team here. So I was just going to say, if you guys could pass along the message that if he ever makes his way to Montreal, there's going to be a jersey.
No. I think the more, let's be honest, the more likely thing is when you come over here to visit, since your boyfriend's from here, you and Gordon DL can play cornhole together until your heart's content. Let's leave it there. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Have a good day.
From Montreal.
You've lost me.
Cornhole. That's the Dazzler's new sport.
What is it?
You never seen it? Is it obviously kind of, well, I say American, it deals Canadian, and I'm going to describe this really badly, even though it's simple. It's like the
racket.
No. It's like wooden board, wee hole, cornhole, and you chuck the beanbags and try and get
it
in.
I've seen it.
Did I do that justice?
On a kind of
a slant, a slope, if you like.
Cornhole.
Apparently, you know, his hips bothering him.
Can
he golf?
That,
he claims he's been going to a local park in Motherwell and playing cornhole, which I don't know. I refuse to believe it.
Taking up balls.
But anyway, someone in Canada wants to play cornhole with this show. Never fails. There you go. That's cornhole for you. Andy watching on the live stream.
Add that to the.
Is that the Dazzler's
the Gordon DL?
Is that his hiking boots in that picture?
See his moccasins up the top there.
Rangers a good chance again, actually.
Right, we're nearly done in Helsinki. Hopefully Motherwell can either hold on or go and even grab a winner. It's one all over in Helsinki at the moment. Rangers still trailing, but again, more time for them to get back in. They're pressing. McCrory's just passed up a good chance, and maybe even a 2-1. They'd probably fancy that back at Ibrox, but we'll round it off when we return.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
getting tense in these European qualifiers over both of them, actually. Motherwell, pretty much done. Seconds remaining. HJK Helsinki 1, Motherwell 1. Tawanda Maswanisi scored a penalty to put Motherwell in front. Timo Pukki equalised for the hosts, and nearly done there. So I'd imagine Motherwell would settle for that and try and do the business at Fir Park next week. Still a good bit to go over in Poland, and Lauren Shankland has not only come on, he's had a really good chance, Jim. Maybe one of them that just comes a bit early, if you like. You know, that it's a header down from a corner, Fernandez. It almost bounces through Shankland's legs, and then he just can't adjust his feet enough to prod it beyond the goalkeeper.
Aye, I'll just be the guy that disagrees with him like, too early. No, I'm not having it, Gordon.
I always try and cut people some slack.
Yeah, well, no, an international striker with his goal scoring record, I'm not having it. It's he just wasn't alert. It was a header, but it actually went between his legs. I think it happened in the backside and just fell down. But then he still had another kind of chance, and he just didn't make any connection with it. He's kind of stuck a foot out of it. I think, to be honest with you, he was probably that annoyed with himself for not collecting the ball in the first place, that he's maybe took his eye off it. But he certainly should have done better. It was a golden opportunity for Rangers to get an equaliser.
Yeah, just on the pitch. If he reacts that little bit quicker, as Jim says, once it goes through his legs, it's still there. Whether he thinks the opportunity's away, he just reacts too slowly to it.
01419511025. That's the number that you need. It is finished. HJK Helsinki 1, Motherwell 1. They were all calling in from the local square to play Beat the Pundit last night. Then a guy called from the stadium
from the
earlier.
Stadium.
So Motherwell fans, now that it's done, give us your match report, give us your feelings after that one. Still a few minutes to go. Former Celtic defender Kobayashi has gone into the book for Jagiellonia. As Rangers do, they're putting a bit of pressure on. It would be some change in the mood, I think, if this could end up 2-2 and heading back to Ibrox. Albie is on the line as a Rangers fan at the moment, though. Albie, how are you feeling? Oh, he's gone. He's disappeared. That's right. We'll try our best to get him back again. Rangers back post header from Shankland hits off a defender and then just bounces into the goalkeeper's arms. So Rangers fans, either call us right now, or if you just can't take your eyes off it, the full time whistle is going to go in just a moment or two, so you can get in touch. It's not through want of trying in the final third. Look, the hosts have had chances as well, but Rangers might feel like they could have sneaked a draw here.
Listen, they've had really good situations in this second half where they've not made the most of them. The chance there, Shankland, we're talking about, but they've had three or four times where they've broke on Jagiellonia, and 2v2 or 3v3, they get Devlin in, took the wrong option, Diomande. It broke down, but they've had some good situations in this second half.
Yeah, Diamond had a header, could well be a little bit better.
Well,
Shankland
yeah.
have a chance. And then again, they've had one or two moves. I just think they've picked the wrong pass. But, you know, they've certainly been on the front foot for most of the second half, Rangers, and been the better side in the second half. And I think that'll give Derek McInnes a lot of optimism for the return leg at Ibrox. They just don't want to lose, a silly goal on the counter attack, because they are taking risks now to try and get that equaliser. But I think overall, certainly looking in the balance of the game for me, Gordon, I think if Rangers play at their top level, they're definitely good enough and better than this team.
In amongst it all, there was a lot of changes, and I think we let this one pass us by. We were discussing other things at the time, but Vanja Dragojevic has come on for his debut as well. He's actually looked quite sharp, Jim, quite mobile. Yeah. The only thing is probably just that department sort of settling down for Rangers, because there are just so many of them, you know, in that area.
Yeah, well,
especially if Raskin stays.
Yeah, well, he was a 20-year-old captain, wasn't he? You know what I mean? So that tells you they must have a strong character. If someone makes you a captain at 20 years of age, it's quite rare for that to happen. So I think it shows you he's a player who is capable of taking responsibility. The 5 minutes has just went up for injury time there, or extra time. So, still enough time for Rangers to get an equaliser. But again, as we've said, Gordon, another change in that side of the pitch. So, you know, the Rangers have got so many options, but, you know, somewhere along the line, Derek McInnes is going to have to favour either a 2 if he's going to go the 4-2-3-1, or a 3 if he's going to go 4-3-3 or something. But he's going to have to make that selection soon, and then work with them so that they start making connections and start being a bit more creative, as some of the fans have asked for.
Do you know what? Let's pause for this, and we'll get the full time picture as well when we return.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. It's 01419511025 and the lines close at 7. You know the drill.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It is full time in the first two of the Scottish clubs in action this evening in European qualification. Motherwell, a bit earlier on, drew 1-1 away in Finland against HGK Helsinki. Tawanda Maswanisi's penalty cancelled out by Timo Pukki, of all people. And then Rangers took an early lead thanks to an own goal over in Poland against Jagiellonia Białystok. But a defensive mix-up in the first half, a couple of defensive mix-ups, shall we say, means the hosts win that 2-1 ahead of the return leg at Ibrox next week. So we've now got a full hour to reflect on them and build up to the games involving Hibs and Hearts as well. So get in touch right now, particularly you Rangers fans. I want to know what you made of that performance out there in Poland. I'd love to get the thoughts of you Motherwell fans as well. 0141 951 1025, and we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Simon Donnelly.
Gordon Duncan.
Have you summered well? Because you had a disappointing season on
Tell
Beat the Pundit last year.
Bottom?
Oh, I think I don't even need to check my list.
Did I?
I'm saying yes. I'm not even checking.
Should it. Be relegated.
The only way is up. Simon,
that's a good way of looking at Jim.
But what did you do? How did you go on? Did you go and fix it over the summer? A bit of warm weather training, studying by
not
the pool in the south of France.
Lying on his lounger with his quiz book.
Anyway, right, so let's play Beat the Pundit. Motherwell fans, Rangers fans, call us now. Let us know what you made of the games earlier on. Albie is on. How are you, Albie?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good, Albie. Good. I'm going to toss this coin. If it's the blue side, it will be Jim Duffy you take on. If it's the red side, it will be Simon Donnelly, who was hopeless last year.
At least it's on the green side.
There is no green side.
Steady, green side.
Of this coin. Anyway, right, let's do it. It will be Jim Duffy. Simon Donnelly's relegation last season means he's not eligible. Anyway, Jim will take on Albie. Let's give Jim something else to listen to. You have 30 seconds, Albie. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer. Okay? You ready, Albie?
Yeah.
Good man. 30 seconds. On the clock, and your time starts now. Which current Scottish Premiership manager scored his Rangers debut goal 30 years ago this week?
Hey, McGinnis.
Name the team that Celtic lost in the Champions League qualification to last season.
Oh, pass.
Motherwell's Conference League opponents, HJK, are from which country?
HJK, oh, pass.
Who's top of the Scottish Premiership?
Pass.
What nationality is Claudio Braga?
Portuguese.
How many teams are in the SPFL overall?
32.
Okay, let's bring him back. Can you hear us, Jim Duffy?
Terrible.
Got us? Same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which current Scottish Premiership manager scored his debut Rangers goal 30 years ago this week?
Neil McCann.
Who did Celtic lose to in Champions League qualification last season?
A pass, I didn't even have that question.
Motherwell's Conference League opponents, HJK, are from which country?
Finland.
Who's top of the Scottish Premiership?
Sittman.
What nationality is Claudio Braga?
Portuguese.
How many teams are in the SPFL overall?
SPFL 48.
Name the only Scottish Premiership side with an English club captain.
English club captain, I'll go for Aberdeen.
That's tough, that's extremely tough. Anyway, Albie, how do you think it went?
Almost a good Rangers game tonight.
Well, listen, we'll get to them. We'll get to them in just a second, but let's go through them and find out how you both did. You obviously both faced the same set of questions. So the first one, which current Scottish Premiership manager scored his Rangers debut goal 30 years ago this week? It was Derek McInnes.
Yes!
Oh, Albie's got.
Albie's buzzing.
In case you couldn't tell, Albie got that.
Albie got that. I think you're done.
1-0 to Albie. 7th of August 1996 for the goal. Who did Celtic lose out to in Champions League qualification last year? You've tried to forget about it, Simon. Kairat Almaty.
I almost did the same as you, though. You didn't listen, did you?
I didn't hear it. It was the McInnes one. I obviously knew McInnes played, but I was actually just trying to think of the time and I knew Neil McInnes. But Neil came much later.
All right, Jim.
Neil came much later.
1-0 to Albie.
That's all right, Albie.
Motherwell's Conference League opponents, HJK, are from Finland. Equaliser, Jim Duffy. St Mirren are top of the Premiership, so Jim Duffy goes in front. You both knew Claudio Braga was Portuguese. None of you could do the arithmetic. 12, 10, 10, 10, 42 teams in the SPFL. And I would never have got, I mean, I know he's English and I know he's the captain, but off the top of my head, I don't think I'd have got this at all. Joe Newell of Hibs is the only English captain. You said Aberdeen, Kevin Nisbet is the Aberdeen captain.
I've got the teams.
Ah, I'm afraid there is no closer, Albie. So he has Pipchi.
Albie, it's all about winning. You know, you're taking your team to 1-3-2 tonight, wouldn't you? No matter how they're playing.
What happened to your team tonight, Albie? What happened to your team?
Oh my god, man, it was really bad. It was poor. Very poor. Not really bad, just poor.
I thought Rangers played quite well in the second half, Albie. I have to be honest with you. I did. I mean, they were open a couple of times on the counter, but I thought
the chances,
you know, I thought they were on the front foot. They took the game to the opposition, and obviously Curtis hits the post with a great volley near the end of the game. Obviously Shankland had a chance, and I certainly think you would be very optimistic that you can get through in this tie.
I'm interested to take calls the rest of the night and tomorrow, Simon, and see, because I think maybe some of the opinions in this game had kind of set in early.
Yeah.
And even though Rangers had chances at the end,
they were
and really could have, you know, left there with the draw. I think some of the Rangers fans were already just too angry. That's kind of that's the mood I'm getting from social media so far.
Yeah, possibly, and maybe on the back of obviously dropping points in the first game. It's early stages, but I think from Derek McInnes's point of view, he's put three guys on at half time there. It's changed the game for Rangers positively. Curtis rattles one off the post there at the end. It could have been a 2-2 draw. He was good when he came on. I wouldn't be surprised if he's played his way into the starting lineup at the weekend. I'm with Jim. I think Rangers did okay in that second half. And for decision making or just the quality of the last little bit, they might have got away with a draw or even better.
Albie, the two guys have got you quite a positive outlook. You're not going that far.
Well, I understand. It was quite positive, to be fair, but there was larger aspects of the game that Rangers were quite poor. I mean, the second half was on two guys, Jim and Simon, was probably better, but I would say that there's still quite a bit of work to do. We should have either drew the game, which would have been probably a fair result, but I think Rangers enough in the second half to possibly win it, but I don't think there's enough up front just to get that final third and get the goal.
I suppose there's
aspects that Derek needs to look at. Derek's a clever man. He's no daft. He knows the score. He knows what these Rangers need to do to win the league and win games. But I just think he needs a wee bit more for the players.
I suppose both can be true, Jim, where Rangers might have taken something from the game, but there were probably enough bad bits to annoy the Rangers fans as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, the best chance of the second half came from the Polish team on the counter. I mean, they cut Rangers open. 8-10 yards out, free hit at goal, didn't hit the target. So that really could have, made it very difficult for Rangers. And there was a couple of other opportunities, but Rangers were really pushing and left themselves a bit exposed. But you've got to kind of look at, you know, if you're a manager, you'll look at the improvements that were made. Again, you can either say he got the team wrong at the start, or he was big enough and brave enough to make three substitutions at half time. It depends what way you want to look at it. But from a manager's perspective, I think Derek will be, again, he's got to look and try and tweak it to try and get that balance right, because his two starting 11s haven't started the way he wanted to. They've both started flat up at Tandice and away here in Europe. They haven't started the game. I know they scored the goal early in the first 10 minutes, but in the first half, we're talking about, if you take the game as a 45 minutes first half, they've been quite poor in both first halves. So they've got to have, you know, a bit of energy in it, particularly the first game against the Hibs at Ibrox at the weekend. They've got to get after Hibs. They've got to come out, get the fans behind them, show real energy, real desire. And to do that, you need a bit of pace and stuff like that in the team to get after people. I'm not quite sure if Rangers have got that in their squad yet.
Yeah, that measured positivity has not been shared everywhere. Colin sent a message in to say that was absolutely appalling. Gavin says, nah, not for me. It was a tough watch. Thank you to Albie for his considerations on it. What about Ian on the other line? Ian, how would you sum it up?
Hi guys, yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I was working late today, so I only managed to catch like the last 20 minutes, but from what I saw, you know, they look well drilled. I think Derek McInnes has got these players well drilled. You know, the, you know, passing the ball well around. Just that they lack that cutting edge. I think they lack that, that sort of that guy that can make something out of nothing. You know, like that Ryan Kent type. You know, and you know, to be talking about trying to get wingers in, and you need to do that ASAP because they've got enough in the middle of the park to play good football. But if you want to win games, you need to have that cutting edge, you know. So they need a, I don't know if they could even get Mikey Moore back in, you know, that might be an option, but well, that's what Derek McInnes needs to do.
I saw he was heading for Cologne last week. Did that ever get finalised? Is that still pending? Anyway, whether it's him or someone else, is that fair? Is that a spark, a kind of creative nous that's missing?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Mikey Moore's a terrific player, and you know, Rangers would be, you know, we're delighted to have him last year. They would have, you know, bitten the hand off you for him to get him again this year, but it looks very, very unlikely. And we said the market just now is so expensive. You know, you just look around, players are going left, right and centre, you know, for 40, 50 million pounds. You take the wages, you take the agent's fees, all these sort of things, that they're extremely expensive to try and find good players, top players that can go and complement and improve your team. So, you know, the Rangers have brought in a number of players. I'm not quite sure if they've brought them in all in the right areas. I don't think they quite needed as many central midfielders. But obviously I'm not privy to what's happening at Rangers. I do think that they need a little bit more pace. Obviously they brought in the Japanese boy, is it Yokota? Yokota.
He was pitched straight in tonight, but wasn't he? Does that tell you though? I was going to say, yeah. Does that tell you how Derek McInnes felt about the balance? Because there's no way in an ideal world you bring a guy in and you play him without having really, you know, trained with his teammates.
And I think also away from home in Europe in very hot conditions, when you know that the game's going to be a difficult game anyway. As I mentioned earlier on the show, Aberdeen, I thought maybe better holding them back for Ibrox and then you know, putting them out with a full house at home when you're expected to maybe be more in control with the game. But Derek had his choice to make. Maybe they've obviously watched a lot of the analysis of him, and they maybe thought, no, he's capable of going straight in. But it didn't quite work out for the boy tonight, and obviously Derek made the changes at half time. So again, you can compliment the manager for making those decisions, and Rangers significant improvement, but there's still an awful lot of work to go. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. I'm a wee bit surprised at the amount of Rangers fans
that
almost expected just the event to click from day one. I thought it would take Rangers a few weeks because
I know it can be a fraught.
A new manager, new players, new expectations, all these sort of things.
I know, it can be a fraught place, but the social media reaction is quite something.
Negative.
Very.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm a bit surprised how overwhelmed the critical people
did
are.
Did you see enough, Ian, to suggest that this is still a tie that Rangers can progress through?
It's just like I said, you know, if they play the way they did in the last 20 minutes, like I said, I didn't watch the whole match, so it's difficult for me to assess. But to be quite honest, they need to be more positive. Certainly to show more urgency when they're on the ball, because that's what they lack. And if they go back to Ibrox, and there's a bit of pressure on McInnes there because a couple of results haven't really gone his way. But it would be wrong to get on his back like this soon, because I think he needs a bit of time. We've seen how good a manager he is. He can get that results from, you know, with Hearts and nearly winning the league. You know how good a manager he is. He just needs a bit of time. And I think if he gets backing in the transfer market, then there is a possibility. But he certainly needs the time. You know, I think they can turn it around, but I think it's going to be tight. You know, it might even go to extra time.
Thinking back to the goals Rangers conceded though, Jim, in the first half, is that maybe where some of the negativity will come from? Because see, if the Rangers fans, if they could see these signs and say, okay, it's just a creative spark we're missing, or a final piece of the jigsaw, but they didn't defend well either, you know. So it feels like there's maybe more issues than some Rangers fans would like at the moment.
Simon said earlier on, he signs Godfrey to play alongside Fernandez. Sure, Godfrey gets injured in the first game, so he then got to change. He puts Sterling in, brings McCrory at right back. So straight away, you've got a new back line, you've got a new goalkeeper, you've got two new midfielders that are in there as well, with Dan Neal and Cammy Devlin. So as I said, you've got to build partnerships, you've got to build understanding how you want to play. And you're not maybe looking at though. You're maybe looking at Fernandez. He's a huge asset, you know. You know, on the pitch, and you're thinking, right, that part's okay, and then all of a sudden they make individual errors. You can't legislate for individual errors.
No.
If it's shape or organisation, then fine, that's down to the manager, down to the tactics and all these things. But when a player makes an individual error, you're scratching your head at times, and you just hope that, you know, that they get a bad patch out of the way. But Fernandes hasn't started the season well. There's no doubt about it. You know, would you look at John Souter, who's still there, and use his experience just now? I would have thought that would be maybe a better option than to put Sterling in as a centre back, because he's not a natural centre back, and maybe just try and shore up that side. Then you can look at the creative side. But Derek's already stated publicly that he wants more at the top end of the pitch. So I don't think he's telling the Rangers fans, Ed, and they don't know. But also from the Rangers fans' perspective, the manager is aware of that.
Yeah, Rangers fans, keep your thoughts coming. 01419511025. I suppose somebody needs to carry the coefficient at the moment. The Steel Men will do it. Hugh is a Motherwell fan on the line, still going okay?
Good evening, Gordon, Simon and Jim, how are we?
Good, Hugh. It's good.
Just obviously want to talk about the performance tonight. I know Jim was talking about Rangers making a lot of change and bringing fresh faces in. So we've got a back, central defence, who's just started playing together, and the two of them are brilliant. And it's really good. Moorman, I think, is really going to have a massive thing for that team. The performance tonight, I'm only critical in one thing, which is really, really good. It's just how we defended Cookie's goal. We let him turn and things like that, but that's the only thing. Thought the performance was great. Even the subs that came on really put a shift in, and it was really good to see. We're hitting the crossbar twice, we hit post once. So I just think we still need a striker. That, and I know Thor's injured now, and that's a frustrating thing, not getting him on. But the performance, I thought, was fantastic. The park was shockingly bad. I don't know whether they just put Robert Pellis down and that was it, because you've seen the bounce in the ball wasn't reacting. In the first half, Ongelo's running up the park, and you're thinking the ball's bouncing funny, and you think you can't even get in control of it. So fantastic. I think the atmosphere at the park next week will actually get us over the line. I just think we were brilliant tonight, and well done to the manager and well done to players, and a big shout out to the supporters who were brilliant all the way through the game.
Yeah, I will keep banging on about it, because I know it rolls off the tongue to folk like me and Hugh and you guys, but just maybe for people who've forgotten the extent of it from how good Motherwell were last year. The goalkeeper, Ward, gone. Go through Motherwell's best team from last year. Stephen O'Donnell injured, Paul McGinn injured, Stephen Welsh gone, Elliot Watt gone, Callum Slattery gone, Elijah just gone. Just when you think you're then, you know, the early weeks of the season, you're finding your way through it. Ibrahim Saeed's one of the standouts. He can't get a visa or the right paperwork to play the game tonight. Of all the new signings, Hugh's right, the centre backs are starting to show something. But Williams has probably been the best of the new signings. Yeah. He was injured tonight as well. Yeah. Genuinely, the overhaul plus the injuries has been on an industrial scale, and they're still looking pretty good for it.
No, I mean, I think Motherwell, I've been a breath of fresh air last year. This year, though, with Alfred Johansson, I mean, again, it's a hard act to follow, taking on from Jens Bertelascu, and, you know, the plaudits that he rightfully received. But as you mentioned, Gordon, losing so many top players, either through transfers, and I know there's been a lot of money brought into Motherwell, and that's brilliant. I love to see provincial clubs, you know, finding good players' development and then making a huge profit on them, because it's very difficult in Scottish football to generate income. So that all credit to Motherwell, but also credit to them for you know, not saying, okay, we're just going to bring in a guy who plays a totally different style, and then we need a different style of player. They brought in a manager with a similar vision, a similar style to Jens Bertelascu, and it seems to be working. Okay, it's early days. We said that earlier on about Derek McInnes. You can't go overboard if things don't go well, and you can't go overboard if things do go well. Mm-hmm. But Motherwell took a few risks. They lost a goal at the weekend. Typical Motherwell, you want to call it that. They tried to play it with the back and got a wee bit casual and lost a goal against Hibs. But tonight, as Hugh said, you know, hitting the bar a couple of times, and, you know, being positive on a you know, a artificial pitch, they deserve an enormous amount of credit, and let's just hope that they can go one better next week.
Yeah, Fir Park will be rocking next week. Hugh, will you get the job finished off?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I know what Jim says. Sometimes we were afraid and we lost a goal against Hibs last week, but we also scored a goal last week. We got the penalty because we were constantly.
Absolutely.
It was one touch. And the second goal we scored last week was phenomenal as well. Mm-hmm. One touch in the park. Saeed, as Gordon says, was a massive loss to us tonight, and he will be huge for us next week because his energy, and I've said it on this show before, his feet go quicker than his head. And you just think, well, trust me, you're sitting in the stands going, how did you do that? Where did that one come? I mean, the one last year, he jumps up like a gazelle and thinking, what are you doing? But fantastic to watch. Yes, we can't. We're not going to get overjoyed and be overzealous, but we're still positive in what we've done last year. We're still continuing it. And the fans are absolutely buzzing for this season because we'll just hopefully continue on. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But what a rollercoaster Mullow is.
Absolutely, wouldn't have it any other way, I'm sure. Thank you very much to Hugh and Lanark. Can Motherwell finish off the job next week, one all over in Helsinki? Lots and lots of reaction coming in to the Rangers defeat over in Poland though, so keep that coming. And Hearts and Hibs go next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 0141 951 1025, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Jim Duffy are here reflecting on two of the four European qualifiers for Scottish teams tonight. Motherwell getting a draw in Helsinki, Rangers losing 2-1 over in Poland. Hibs with home advantage, they surely, I know they have had a sticky at times start to the season, but would be favourites there to try and get something. But my goodness, do you think, maybe I'm being slightly cynical here, do you think if you gave Hearts the chance, the fans will go and have a brilliant time?
Yeah.
But do you think they'd say, listen, just call it?
Look, I'm thinking about the two games there, and I know you're saying there's a lot of negativity in social media regarding the Rangers result, but I think both Rangers and Motherwell will progress. I think Hibs will progress.
Do you think Hearts will get past Benfica?
I think Hearts are going to struggle big time.
Ah, listen,
it's a difficult one. It's a really difficult one.
They say that's, you know, that's the beauty of it. You go and try and test yourself at this level, Jim. You try and enjoy it, try and embrace the challenge. Do you think it will feel like that, or does the cynical side kick
I just
in?
I think it's one of those ones. I think someone popped a balloon at Hearts. I think that's the difficulty. They were so close, probably 3 minutes away from winning a title. And then they lose the manager, they lose the captain, they lose probably the most influential midfielder in Cammy Devlin, and then Craig Halkett had been injured, and then, you know, Finlay gets sent off at the weekend, and it just seems to be, you know, someone's flicked the first domino and they're all going down
the
now.
The players,
you know,
that are already there that have experienced that, it's hard to get back in the horse
and
the likes
of Braga and all that, who was getting all the plaudits, they seem to be not quite at it. So it's just that they're just very deflated just now. The new manager's come in, he just can't seem to get anything going at this moment. So maybe they'll surprise people, and that's all you can hope, you know, because there's no expectation on them tonight, where there has been in the previous games. So perhaps going there without any expectation might release them a little bit, and they might come in with a surprising result.
I'm going to bring in Davey in just a second. Let me get this question set up for you two.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Thank you to Ben in Carluke for sending this one in, and a big thanks to our sponsor, Arcaplan Glasgow, as well. You'll never believe this. It's taken years, right? I think I've found a teaser right up your street, both of you. But I think you'll nail this, right? Famous last words.
Exactly.
Can you name the last five? That's a good start, isn't it? Yeah. We're only looking for five.
Only five.
The last five players to score for a Scottish club in a major European final.
In a major European final, right?
The last five players to score for a Scottish club in a major European final. You don't need me to tell you, we don't reach major European finals that often.
So we'll go for John Hewitt.
Yes. Any to kick us off from you, Simon Donnelly?
Dalglish?
No. Scottish club.
Too far back. Oh, Scottish club, sorry. Hewitt.
Ian Ferguson?
Oh, no. I know what you're thinking of, but no.
Who scored for the United States, I think. Yeah.
John Black. Eric Black.
Well done. Good start. We'll leave it there because that's two down, only three to get. Mm-hmm. Can you name the last five players to score for a Scottish club in a major European final? Rangers' road to a major European final might feel long tonight. Still very much in the tie, though. Davey and Irvine, how are you feeling?
Absolutely distraught. It's just the same usual stuff again. New season, new manager, new plans. It's just the same results over and over again.
imagine repeating the words that kind of said. It was absolutely disgusting. A wee bit better the second half, but I was even watching it with my friends Ian and Alan there. They said the same. 5 minutes to go.
Oh, come on. No. Even by modern standards, you're having me on. 2 games in.
Well, even my pal there, Alan, he even like, jokingly said, Wilfred Nancy. I think that's a wee bit of a stretch, but honestly, he needs to go. He definitely needs to go.
I appreciate we are a hotbed for extreme football opinions. It's kind of what we're here for. It's our currency. But even by these wacky standards, nah, come on. Let's be serious.
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous shout. I think... I don't know. Were you watching a different game tonight?
Yeah, I know, as I said, I thought the.
That's the thing, because to be fair, right? But David well even said, yeah, it got a bit better in the second half.
The chances that second half. Now, you go away from home in Europe, regardless of the opposition, you're never ever going to go there and steamroll it. They start the game well. The two goals are individual mistakes, terrible goals to give away. You go 2-1 behind. Other nights, the roof could fall in, but they get back into it. And in the second half, I thought Rangers had the better of the... Yeah, they broke a few times, but I thought Rangers had the better of the second half.
Yeah, I think they were considerably better in the second half, Davey. And I get... I'm not quite sure. I mean, you played 2 away games. Away to, you know, Tandice and away in Poland. You know, and I think no matter even if Rangers have had better teams in the past or better players or better manager, in your opinion, possibly... You know, going to these places isn't a guarantee to win games. And I think that Dundee United had played competitive games because they were in the League Cup section. So they were maybe a wee bit ahead in terms of understanding. We get the other side of it. Don't get me wrong. Hugh spoke to his earlier on, a Motherwell fan, and saying, well, they've got a new manager and new players, and they've clicked a little bit. So I can get the other side of the argument. But I do think that when you're at a club like Rangers, you're bringing in so many players, there is going to be a period of uncertainty where the manager is trying to find out, you know, who can play for Rangers, who can deal with the situation, who can deal with the expectations or the criticism, because Gordon's saying tonight there's a lot of criticism, and particularly in social media. You have to be able to deal with that if you're a Rangers player. And the only way you'll be able to do that is finding out about them, is be sticking them in there and in the heat of the battle, and then see who comes through. And that takes a bit of time. You can't give someone a couple of weeks and then just want to dismiss them. If that's the case, you'll be going through 10 managers a year.
You don't think, based on the chances in the second half, Davey, that Rangers could very well still go through this tie? I know it wasn't good, but, you know, could still very well go through.
I think we could do something at him, but just, honestly, it was just absolute disgusting performance. It was just, I think I've just taken out on it now. I don't know what to think there, but Alan and Ian, they're laughing. They don't agree with me at all.
I think Davey's getting paid by the shout out for his mates, Alan. Alan's had more mentions in this show than you two have tonight. I'm starting that's to get right. A bit suspicious of
no, but I think
Davey's intentions.
Listen, fans are entitled to their opinion, Gordon. That's why the show's been running so long, because fans, I mean, if everybody agreed, then there'd be no debate. So fans are, but there's got to be a degree of realism as well. And if you bring there was a talk that, you know, Rangers were bringing in other managers from different countries and different places, and, you know, players from all over the place. So he brings in a Scottish manager, he brings in players like Robbie McCrory, who knows, about the Scottish game. So does Cammy Devlin, so does Lorne Shanklin. The manager knows, his staff know it. And I'm not saying that guarantees you, no one is, but that was some of the things that Rangers fans were calling out for. And then you get that, and then it's, well, couple of weeks now, we weren't ready that. So who's next on the line then? What's your next suggestion then? And, you know, so again, they've been trying to recruit, they have brought in a lot of players, spent a lot of money, and they're continuing. I mean, I'm sure they'll bring in another, maybe one or two players before the window's closed. And I think, as I said, you have to allow a manager time to try and implement his style. You have to give him a bit of time. You can't do it in 2 or 3 weeks.
I think clearly though, Simon, then even allowing for you two being a bit calmer about this, certainly than Davey and some of the other Rangers fans, Derek McInnes just could probably be doing with some strong signs in the next couple of games, because that's what we said about this season. Nobody in here is suggesting managers are under pressure after 2 games, but the start of the season can be unforgiving, because all of a sudden Hibs roll into town. Can you imagine the mood around Ibrox at full time at the weekend if Hibs leave with something, and then you need to go and do the European thing over again? So
Well, I think Derek will be aware of that. He's played at Rangers. He played at Rangers, and you're talking about it being unforgiven, but Celtic and Rangers, it can be unforgiven. You know, two games in, and Davey's calling for his head. It's the nature of the beast. He has to go and get a positive result at the weekend. It will be a difficult one again. After the game on Friday night, they were talking about wide players. They brought the Japanese lad in. You've got to give him a chance. I think one of the boys is right on their doorstep, Curtis. I think last season, at the start of the season, he did well. For whatever reason, never get in the team, went down to Kilmarnock, played himself into the World Cup team, World Cup squad, and, you know, tonight comes on, changes the game positively. So, I mean, you have to look to these, but absolutely, listen, that's, Derek will know more than most. He has to go and try and get a win as quick as possible.
The balance of Rangers squad is going to come under a bit of scrutiny, because look, it's early in the transfer, well, no, it's not early. There is time left in the transfer window. There have been new players signed. There are meant to be more on their way. But the number of central midfielders is... Because I know Derek McKenna said yesterday about Raskin's back. He's a good player. Until a bid's accepted, he's here. But just that... How does the numbers game in that department work? Yeah. Chukwuanyi started tonight. Yeah. Dan Neal. Mm-hmm.
Diamandi.
Diamandi's been signed. I mean, Asgard, mm-hmm. you would kind of loosely... Dragojevic come on for his debut. Conor Barron's still in the building.
Yeah.
Something
but they've invested heavily in them as well. I mean, Dragojevic, I think, was it 3.5 or 4 million or something like that? You know what I mean? So, you know, good player, Cammy Devlin, as you said, you're bringing him from Hearts, Dan Neal up from down south. So, you've paid a transfer fee or you're paying them handsomely in salary, nevertheless, there's a lot of players there. And sometimes, yeah, managers want options, but you can have too many in the one area, and they are a bit overcrowded in there. But that, again, George is then saying about, you know, the manager should know. But you've got to remember, a lot of these players were probably in the Rangers, if you're going to call it, recruitment system before he got the job.
Yeah.
You know, those were probably quite far down the line, some of them. So he could maybe, I mean, I don't know Derek's role in that. Maybe he could say, look, I don't want him. But, you know, like most managers, if there's a good player and the club are happy to finance it, then you're going to say, okay, I'll have him, I'll take him. But he's also saying, yeah, we need wide players. So yeah, he's made his case known. He said that a couple of weeks ago, that he needed it after, I think, the friendly against West Ham. So he understands that what he needs as well. I only hope that they don't just kind of turn their nose off at, you know, people on their door, which is like Finlay Curtis, because we were saying there, Simon. Sometimes I think
a lot to offer.
We always want to look elsewhere, don't mean. And if you bring in a player, 2 or 3 million, is he going to be better than that boy? I'm
Absolutely.
Not so sure.
No, I agree with you. I just think he's got a lot to offer. I remember him at the start of last season. I can't remember why he drifted out the team or whatever. I know they brought a couple of players in last year. I like the lad, and I think sometimes that does get overlooked. You've got to think with the midfielders, you've got to envisage Raskin leaving,
didn't he, and Antman and Mikey Moore and Gassama.
So then he struggles to get in. But I think he's got something to offer the kid. And regarding the midfielders, I just think you must think Raskin's going to leave.
Anyway, 01419511025, that's the number that you need. Get in touch, we'll take more calls next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's been a quick old show thanks to those two earlier kickoffs. Jagiellonia Bialystok 2, Rangers 1 in European qualification. Motherwell drew 1 all away, HJK Helsinki. Skendia up at Easter Road for Hibs next, and Hearts away to Benfica, which should be an interesting challenge. Still time to squeeze some calls in if you can, and you two have got work to do on this teaser as well. Who are the last 5 players to score for a Scottish club in a major European final? You have got John Hewitt and Eric Black.
Rangers, Joe Aribo.
It was Joe Aribo, well done.
Aye, I've misheard that. I thought it was Scottish players, right, okay.
Joe Aribo. And we don't know if it's how far we go back. It's Tommy Gamel.
We're not that far back. I'm not that
71, not the 67
back.
One.
Still no, because Rangers 2 would have come after that as well, wouldn't they? 72.
Aye, but Rangers, they're not going to beat 2-0.
I don't think
they're 72, I meant.
Oh, 72. Aye, true. Dundee United, I can't remember. Paul Sturrock?
No.
David Dodge?
No.
I'm going to go through them all. I can go through them all. Ralph Milne?
No.
Eamon Bannon?
No.
John Clark?
Yes, John Clark.
John Clark.
Right, leave it there. John Clark.
Leave it there. We'll get the last remaining one before we disappear. You don't need to give me any more at the moment. You don't need to give me any before the end. But 01419 do one more before the end. 01419511025 is the number that you need. Let's check in the phone line, see if there's anything else coming through to round us off before we get into those other matches. What about Hibs then? Skendia at home. They had to do it kind of the hard way in the previous tie. They obviously lost at the weekend, which is disappointing, but they were pretty good in the second half against Motherwell, had chances. How big is this one for them and David Gray?
I think it's a big match for David Gray, only because, you know, they didn't finish the season great at last season. The kind of jury was out a little bit this year. Again, I actually think they've done a decent job, but Hibs expectation, and I think because Hart's done so well, then you've obviously got your rivals to contest as well. So therefore, I think you had to start the season well. But I again, Hibs fans are saying it's a similar story. They had a lot of chance but didn't capitalise, made a few errors. But I thought the second half, they actually really got at Motherwell and, pinned them in, good half a dozen really good chances. Keeper had a couple of brilliant saves, missed a couple of sitters, wee bit unlucky here and there. But Motherwell scored a fantastic goal, an outstanding footballing goal to win the match. But I agree with you, Gordon. I think he probably needs a very, very positive result tonight, because they'll go to Ibrox at the weekend. That's going to be a real test. And they need a confidence boost before they go there.
Because you get degrees of pressure, Simon. I think it's become quite automatic now. When people say a manager's under pressure, it's like it automatically means that if he loses the next game, he's getting the sack. And it's not always that simple. But if you look through the league this season, some managers were maybe successful last season. The John McGlynns of the world, there's no chance there. There's no negativity surrounding them. Yeah. Some are brand new in. I was going to say that lets you off the hook, but I guess not, based on some of the calls.
No,
but David Gray would just be in that little bracket that even if it's not proper pressure, as Jim said, that's the best phrase, could just do with things heading in a positive direction at the start of the new season.
Listen, you only have to go back to the first call of the night, Scott, and the positivity by Motherwell. It's the feel-good factor. If you can get through these ties at the start of your season, it sets you up nicely. I agree with Jim. I watched the game at the weekend. I actually enjoyed the game. Both teams had their moments, and at one each, Hibs probably looked maybe the most likely to go and get the goal. I think the commentary said that, and then Motherwell scored a fantastic winner. They had the setback in the first leg, in the first round, came back to Easter Road, turned it round nicely. I fancy the Hibs tonight. I think they can get a positive result.
Both 8 o'clock kickoffs, so we'll keep an eye over the later part of the evening on that, and then bring you up to speed tomorrow. Look back on it all. We can fully look back on Rangers at the moment, though it didn't go to plan. Lewis is in Gartcosh. How are you, Lewis?
Yeah, I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good, Lewis. What jumps out for you after that then? Everybody's been getting it so far, but what's the main source of your frustration?
I think my main source of frustration is the recruitment. I feel like every other team in the league, these playoffs, the European playoffs, come up at a really good time. They've got their squad together. But for Rangers, and I also think it applies to Celtic, these games appear to come out of nowhere for them. They've not got the team together. They've not got the players in, and the players haven't gelled. I don't understand how we can't get players in quickly enough that these games don't come as a bit of a surprise to us. We're lacking game changers at the top of the park. And it looks like, we've got that, we're looking at that Duresh boy for PSV Eindhoven. He looks like a good guy, right? But we need them now, we can't do with them after we've dropped points already in the league and lost to Jailonia, but Bialystok, we need players in now, and it just feels like it's so frustrating that we don't get our business done quick enough.
I do feel like that's quite a theme though, isn't it? That could have been sorry Lewis, because I know you won't want me to liken you to your rivals, but that could have been a Celtic call there. It's the exact same thing we hear, so there must be something in that. I know every team wants to do it early.
It's frustrating for everybody, I guess. I mean, Jim, you might know better. Is it because it's Rangers and Celtic, it's harder to deal with? I don't know. But
I think there's loads of factors. Because even it being a World Cup year.
Yeah.
As an example, right? I know we're talking about Rangers incomings. What if you were trying to buy Nicholas Raskin at the moment? Yeah. She only turned to training 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Turned to training in the, you know, the 3rd or 4th of August.
Yeah. August.
Do you know what I mean? So let's say the guy that Rangers are, or Celtic are trying to buy is that guy.
Yeah, but also there's a much more restricted budget, whether you're at Rangers or Celtic. And I keep saying, not so much that you can't buy or spend a few million in players. Celtic have always spent 11 million in Casper Hugh. Rangers have spent, you know, more than that on a number of players, 3 million here, 4 million here, that stuff. But they have to recoup some of that money. There isn't a pot of gold that they can just dip into and just go for tens of millions of pounds. But I do agree with Lewis's principle,
and that is
getting players in earlier. I sometimes think some of our club's preparation could be a wee bit better. I think a couple of years ago, was it when Celtic went to the States and Brendan Rodgers said he was using that as a way to prepare for the Champions League qualifiers and stuff. He was trying systems and he wasn't just using it as giving guys minutes. So I think we can maybe look at that side of it. But on the same side, as Gordon have said, there's Motherwell manager, a new manager, a whole group of new players, lost all his best players, and they've had some good results. So
do you think
it can work for you, but I just think it, trying to attract players, that and no disrespect to Motherwell or anywhere else, they're trying to attract a higher level of player.
And these players are few and far between. Well, Lewis, what is it? Maybe more about than using the number that you've already brought in, because you have done business. But Dan Neal, Cammy Devlin, Dragojevic, that's three in pretty much that, you know, a kind of similar
Lord
role,
Shankland,
isn't it?
You know,
well, it's not even still though. I feel like these signings aren't hitting the ground running, and I feel like that does happen everywhere else. You know, Olefe Mekanya, right? Brilliant centre back over in the States. We spent a good few million on him. Why was he not on the pitch tonight? Why was Dejan Sterling, who's not an actual centre back and incredibly poor tonight, why was he on the pitch? It makes no sense to me how we can't just throw these guys in. And of course that's throwing them into the deep end a bit, but it's Rangers, you know, like anything's going to be throwing them into the deep end. I just don't understand how poor like some of the guys are coming in and playing straight away. I mean, Vanya Dragojevic, we spent 5 million on him. He barely touched the pitch tonight, didn't he? So it's just it's just mind-boggling how little impact these guys are having straight away. And I understand it takes time. I'm not deluded that it takes time to gel with a team. But, you know, come on.
I get the point, because then in other areas Rangers did have, so Daisuke Yokota did get pitched straight in. But so, you know,
some players take a bit of time. You know, you've got cultural differences, language differences, you know, different styles of football. There's a multitude of things. You know, I think the boy's only 20 years of age, isn't he? I think the two of those boys are 20, so they're very, very young to come to a new club.
Right, we have to leave it there, as you can hear. But thank you to Lewis. Can you name the last 5 players to score for a Scottish club in a major European final? Joe Aribo, John Clark, John Hewitt, Eric Black.
It's got to be the superstar.
Easy one to finish.
Tell us.
King of Kings.
Henrik Larsson.
There we go.
It's got to be Henrik Larsson.
He's just deliberately saved the easiest one to the end. Thank you very much to Simon Donnelly and to Jim Duffy. Well done, up to a point. Motherwell, that's good. We'll take that. 1-1. Come back and try and do the job at Fir Park. Rangers, work to do, but not impossible. And the best of luck to our Edinburgh sides, who are about to kick off, and we look back on it all tomorrow at the same time as previewing the weekend. What more could you want? Get the number stored. Give us a call tomorrow. Amber is in for Callum up next, and we will return 6 o'clock Friday.